Imagine that you have something of great value to you, something irreplaceable, that your family has gotten great use and joy out of for generations. It could be a special piece of silverware, an antique coffee table, maybe a baseball card, or even just that picture of the bigger fish eating the smaller fish that used to hang in your grandparents' kitchen. And then, for whatever reason, you ask a friend to take care of it for you. You'll pay for the upkeep, and he does. You can go visit whenever you want, you can even borrow it, but it's his job to keep it safe and make sure that it's there for you. Then one day, you get a letter from your friend saying that he's happy to hold on to the item, but you can't see or use it anymore. That's more or less what's going on in Western Colorado, and indeed all across the West, with some of our best-loved public lands.
I've seen lots of closures. You know, there's areas as a kid that I used to ride, or where I used to ride single track, and they're no longer in the same state. So just myself in my life, you know, there's areas I can no longer ride that I used to ride with my father as a kid.
That's Steve Martin of Grand Junction, Colorado. And it's not just his recreation that's affected, it's his business.
Owner and operator, Motorcycle Accessories. So we are a parts, accessories, sales, and service store located in Grand Junction for 35 years, selling to, you know, dirt bikes, street bikes, ATVs, scooters, side-by-side, the power sport industry.
Periodically, the BLM revises its resource management plans for the areas under its jurisdiction. The intent is to allow for the preservation and maintenance of public land for public use, but the effect is often to close off access, sometimes along routes that have been popular for generations. The latest such set of revisions initially called for about 2,000 miles of roads in western Colorado to be closed off. 2,000 miles! That's about the distance from Chicago to LA. That was reduced to about 600 miles, and right now about 200 miles are still scheduled to be closed off, with about 400 miles in limbo in what they're calling deferred status.
And so we have a real vast, open, usable area. And then now they're going to come through and say, okay, here's all these miles of route that don't fit any kind of classification for a route. So you start taking the amount of people recreating out here, you're reducing them down to a smaller size area, and then they'll turn around and go, oh, wait, this mode of travel is harder on the terrain, and we're going to close it down.
And it's not just the recreational use that's affected. Ranchers often find that their grazing permits are more trouble to use than they're worth, because the road closures make the pastures so difficult to access. I spoke to Linda Bestland, who's on the board of the Public Land Access Association of Colorado.
The ingress and egress has been shut down so badly that it's becoming an inconvenience for them to even use the land, because there might be one way in and one way out of thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres.
All of this might be forgivable if the BLM and the Forest Service were doing a creditable job of actually maintaining and preserving the land that they're charged with, well, maintaining and preserving. But in many cases, preservation is being confused with neglect, according to Bestland.
They're so deplorable, in such deplorable conditions, with dead deer kill everywhere, that you can't even get a horse through unless you're just staying on a trail.
Ultimately, it was this combination of inaccessibility and neglect that led the PLAA to join business owners and landowners like Martin and the Mesa County Commissioners in filing a protest against the BLM's closure process.
So we go to, you know, the motorcycle clubs and the groups and the community. You know, we got the county commissioners from Mesa County on board. All of the civic town of DeBec writing letters, everybody saying what a good economic thing this would be, it's a good area, it's sustainable, and everybody got back a form letter that your comments are not valid and will not be recorded on the RMP.
But that's not the most frustrating thing. This is Rose Puglisi of the Mesa County Board of Commissioners.
What they did, they didn't actually say these roads are open, they deferred judgment on them, which is really interesting and one of the things that we are appealing, because there's no process for actually deferring the decision on routes or either releasing those deferred routes or not closing them. Does that mean like they just close them in 5 years, or does that mean like they have to get input from open, and then what does that process look like, and is it a public process, is there a protest period?
Consider that. While the protest was denied on process grounds, even though Ms. Puglisi doesn't use these words, the BLM appears to be making up the process as it goes along with respect to deferrals. At a minimum, it's thrown those 400 miles of roads into process for which the process itself is unclear. BLM and Forest Service closures, and what many Westerners see as their high-handed dealings, have started to make it into the popular culture. C.J. Box is a mystery writer from Wyoming, where he sets his popular Joe Pickett novels. Here's Box in a 2010 interview with talk radio host Hugh Hewitt.
There is a public meeting described on page 171 of Winterkill.
Melinda Strickland was still talking, holding forth on the policy of road closures. Her voice seemed distant, disconnected, and sing-song. A retired electrical contractor had been called on, and he asked why a certain road in the Bighorns had been closed to vehicle traffic. He said that he had used the road all his life when he hunted, and that his father had used the road for 50 years before that. "I wish I had a choice in the matter," Strickland was explaining to the crowd. "But it's not as simple as that. I understand what you're saying, but the policy's in place, and there's very little we can do to change it at this juncture. We don't have the manpower or resources to re-evaluate grazing leases or timber allotments in this fiscal year." Strickland was talking in circuitous paths, leading nowhere, with confusing little asides thrown in to divert attention from her meaning, just as it threatened to become clear. Joe knew that. Like Lamar Gardner, Strickland had much more discretion in decision-making than she let on. And, like Gardner, Strickland blamed all of her own unpopular decisions on unnamed, faceless higher-ups, nebulous policy documents, or public meetings that had never been public, and that might never have actually occurred. As she droned on, several hands were raised in the audience. She looked over the tops of the hands as she spoke, as if she couldn't see them.
Yeah.
Is this what the Western people generally think about federal bureaucrats?
Many do. I mean, I've been in many of those meetings. I covered them as a reporter. You know, there's nothing quite like the local meeting in the high school gym where everybody comes in to make their point. And it's really not a public meeting. It's a public informing. And somehow they always seem to say that there's been all these comments against what everybody in the room said, and they have to weigh those against those, and somehow they always win.
If you think this is an unfair indictment of federal bureaucrats, consider this. In her response denying the protest, BLM Acting Assistant Director of Resources and Planning, Amy Luders, addressed her letter to Mr. Rob Puglisi, Chair of the Mesa County Board of Commissioners. So aside from filing procedural protests, what is to be done? The Sagebrush Rebellion of the 1970s and 80s was the last time states and localities got fed up enough with federal control to try to do something about it in an organized way. This time, states as far apart as Arizona, Utah, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska have all explored ways of wresting away control of non-park federal lands. In fact, much of the land that's now federal was never even intended to stay that way. This is a problem that goes all the way back to the Civil War, indeed even to the Louisiana Purchase and the Mexican War. With those two mighty expansions, much of the continent west of the Mississippi fell into the hands of the federal government. The Homestead Act, and later legislation, was intended to put that land into private hands in order to encourage settlement and development. But the government eventually found that leasing grazing, timber, and mineral rights to be a better financial deal. So they kept ownership and control of this land up to 80% of some western states. It's unclear that such efforts can succeed without federal acquiescence, but it created enough concern to prompt a reply from New Mexico Democrat Senator Martin Heinrich. In an October 2014 New York Times op-ed, Heinrich argued that the cost of managing the lands would force states to privatize it on a grand scale. This would also result in a proliferation of locked gates and no trespassing signs in places that have been open to the public and used for generations. It would devastate outdoor traditions like hunting, camping, and fishing that are among the pillars of Western culture and a thriving outdoor recreation economy. That's Senator Heinrich. The fact is, though, that right now, with the BLM and Forest Service in charge, those no trespassing signs are going up, and those gates are being locked all over the West. Special thanks to Victoria Tunison for recording the segment from CJ Box's Winterkill.